Our scripture reading for today is Psalm 126. We're working our way through the Psalms. We'll have another Psalm on Thursday that we'll look at, and then one more. We'll close on Easter morning with Psalm 150, the last of the Psalms. But today is Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues, with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. This is the word of God for the people of God. So speaking of dreaming, if you could travel anywhere, where would you go? And let's say there's not a worldwide pandemic, health issues aren't a concern. If you could travel anywhere, where would you go? Would you prefer the coast and the ocean and the beach? Would you prefer the mountains? Would maybe a big city is a place that you'd like to go? Maybe Paris or the Holy Land. You know, if you could dream big and go anywhere you wanted to go, travel to that very special place, where would it be? Have you ever considered outer space? Richard Branson of Virgin Galactic is offering an orbit in the future, near future probably, 65 miles high all the way around the globe for about $250,000 a ticket. Yeah. Elon Musk has one-upped him on that. He has the SpaceX program, maybe you've heard of that, and in the future he foresees offering a trip New York to LA, 24 minutes, or London to Hong Kong, 34 minutes, or he says it this way, anywhere in the world to anywhere else in the world in under an hour, again using space as a way to get to where we need to go quickly. The Russians have been offering a week's stay at the International Space Station for several years at the cost of about $30 million for the week. But over 8 people have already taken that trip. Not astronauts, regular folks. There's one group who's been offering a trip to Mars. Now, if you Google Mars, if you Google a trip to Mars, you'll get Mars, Pennsylvania. Or you'll get Mars, France. But this group is offering a trip to Mars, the red planet. Now, it's 140 million miles away. It takes a while to get there. And this trip is a one-way trip. There's no return trip from Mars that this group is offering. And would you believe it? Over 200,000 people have already applied and sent in their deposit. If you were going to go on a trip, dream trip, wherever you wanted to go, where would it be? When the ancient Israelites dreamed about that trip for them, they dreamed about going to Jerusalem. It's a little bit more down to earth than Mars, but it's heavenly minded for them. God's people in the Old Testament times, they longed to visit the holy city. They wanted to be there to praise God. They wanted to be there in the temple. They wanted to be there to celebrate special religious festivals in the streets of Jerusalem. Thousands of people would journey on foot from hundreds of miles away to attend high and holy days like Passover. And that's what was happening on Palm Sunday. Jerusalem was overcrowded with Jews who had traveled, some for several weeks, to celebrate Passover. This was the dream trip for so many of the faithful Israelites. In Jesus' day, nothing meant more to a faithful Jew than going to Jerusalem. The religious trek was so important that there were songs written specifically for their pilgrimage on the way to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover or to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles or celebrate. There was a couple other major religious festivals throughout the year. An entire section of the Bible is dedicated to traveling to Jerusalem. 15 of the 150 Psalms, so do the math, that's 10%. 15 of the 150 Psalms are called Songs of Ascent. Psalms 120 through 134 are each given that title. So these Psalms, they're like songs. It's kind of the Psalms are like the worship book of the Old Testament Jews. And so these travel songs are kind of like the Jews' playlist. You know, favorite songs that they would play at certain times to get you, you know, in the right mood for whatever was about to happen. And so they had different, we have different playlists for different occasions. You might have a playlist for heading out on vacation, and the first song on that playlist might be Born to be Wild. Or you might have a playlist for when the kids get back into the classroom, and the first song on that playlist might be Born Free. Or you might have a playlist for heading into the car dealer to kind of talk about buying another car, and the first song on that playlist might be Bad to the Bone. You got to be tougher than they are. I remember my first day of retirement, my very first day of officially being retired. Now, of course, obviously, I've come out of retirement, but the very first day of retirement, I had somewhere to go. I don't even remember where or why, but I had some place to travel, and I put in one of my favorite CDs by Matthew West. Are you familiar with him? He's a Christian songwriter and singer. He's a great guy, and he had one cut on that CD called Day One of the Rest of Your Life. And I played that cut 17 times in a row. That's what it was. This was day one of the rest of my life. So the Songs of Ascent, Psalms 120 through 134, make up the playlist that the Jews would sing on their way to worship. And just like the playlist that you have in your car that you play on the way to church. You do have a Sunday morning playlist, right, that you play before you come to church. Okay, good. Our psalm for the day, Psalm 126, is a song that the Jews would sing in their pilgrimage on their way to Jerusalem, up to the temple to worship the Lord. It's a mixture of prayer and praise, as are actually most of the psalms. Some psalms are all praise. We'll see that mostly with Psalm 150, and there's several psalms like that. Some psalms are all prayer, but most of the psalms have elements of both, praise and prayer, which I believe is a clue for us when it comes to connecting to God. That balance, that back and forth between praise and prayer is important when we're seeking to build our connection, our relationship with God. For example, Psalm 22 is the prayer that Jesus prays as he's dying on the cross. Do you remember some of the words that Jesus said on the cross on Good Friday? One of the phrases that he just cried out was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, that's a direct quote from Psalm 22. And with tears in his eyes, he prays a desperate prayer for being delivered from this painful death that he's undertaking for the sins of the whole world. And yet the very next breath of Psalm 22 talks about how God shows up when his people praise him. Back and forth the psalm goes between prayer and praise, and this is exactly what was on the mind of Jesus as he was dying on the cross, trying to connect with his heavenly Father. Psalm 22. A similar thing was on the minds who just 5 days before the crucifixion, in other words, on Palm Sunday, were lining the streets and waving palm branches as Jesus was entering the city, the holy city of Jerusalem, on a donkey. This was a opening day parade. It was opening day of the Passover festival, the biggest day of the life of the city of Jerusalem, and huge crowds were lining the streets. This particular section where Jesus was as he was riding on the donkey, the people were cheering and they were chanting. They were cheering and chanting words from Psalm 118. They weren't just making up something. They actually had something in mind that they were cheering. They were singing, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That's what Psalm 119, verse 26. That's a praise. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But Psalm 118, verse 25, the verse right before that says, "Save us, O Lord, we pray. Give us success, we pray." That prayer and praise was what was on the minds of those folks who were waving the palm branches on Palm Sunday when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem. They were praying that Jesus, who they knew had healed people, who they knew had just actually raised Lazarus from the dead, they were praying that Jesus would free the Jewish nation from their Roman oppressors. They were praising that this one that they thought was not only a great prophet and a miracle worker, but it was someone who could take the lead and be their king and revolt against Rome and set up Israel as the greatest nation on earth. They were excited about what he might be able to do and could do for them. And so Hosanna, loud Hosanna, was playing on their playlist that day. So back to Psalm 126. This psalm captures the essence of what can be on our mind when we're trying to connect to God, when we're trying to take the next step or build our relationship with the Lord. Psalm 126 is a simple psalm of six verses, but it's a good model of the balance between prayer and praise. So let's look a little closer at that psalm. Verse 1 says, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion." So back in the day, they were thinking about what God had done. Back in the day, long ago, in the history of Israel, there were some dark days. The darkest was probably when Babylon overran Jerusalem and captured the city and exiled the people, took the people, leaders, royalty, commoners, everybody, took them out of the city and took them away to a foreign country to live in captivity, and completely demolished the city, knocked down the walls. The beautiful temple, Solomon's temple, was just demolished. And the people's hearts were devastated. They could do nothing but cry day and night. The book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament records all of this. And Jeremiah is often known as the weeping prophet. It's because this is happening in his day, on his watch. And he sees the horror of it all. And it just breaks his heart. That was what happened back in the day. But the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, recalled them from exile, brought them back from Babylon to Jerusalem. In a reversal of fortune, after the people had spent so many years in Babylon, God brought the Israelites back home. Now let me help you understand why that's incredible, because that never happened. In ancient times, when one country came in and captured another nation, it took those people out of their homeland, away, somewhere else. Because the worry was, if you leave them in their homeland, there's a resurgence that could happen, and they could revolt and fight back. But if you take them away, into exile, into captivity, then you take away the chance that there would be any kind of resurgence or of a revolt. And so when one nation defeated another nation, there was never any going back from the people who had been defeated. But it did happen in this one particular instance in history. God arranged for the Israelites to return to Jerusalem. It was like a dream beyond their wildest imaginations. Even other countries heard about what had happened, and they said, wow, this is an amazing thing that their God could do. So the Israelites were saying, pinch us, this can't be happening. It's like a dream. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed, and our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with joy. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion and the people dreamed and they sang songs of joy, that became the number one most popular song on Godify. Well, that was before Spotify. So back when in the day when they could sing songs and celebrate what God had done, this was number one on their list, remembering that God had brought them out of captivity back to Jerusalem. Now, the psalm doesn't stop there with praise. The last verse of this psalm is a prayer. It says, Lord, do it again. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. The Negev is a desert. It's a horribly arid, rocky, dry land. But when the rains come and the creeks flood, there's life that happens, even in the desert, even in the Negev. Restore the fortunes. We are like the Negev. We are arid, dry, desert-stricken people. Please, Lord, bring the rains. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, bringing in the sheaves with them. Psalm 126 is full of tears for what is happening. But it's also full of joy in what God can do. And in a nutshell, if you think about it, that's our faith. That's our life as persons who follow Jesus. There are times that bring tears to us. And yet there are times where our mouth is filled with laughter, our hearts with joy. There are times of prayer, and there are times of praise. Jesus tried to tell his disciples the same thing. John chapter 16, he's sitting down with his disciples in the upper room at the Last Supper, and he has some final words to tell them before what he knows is going to happen on Good Friday. And so he says this, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me. The world will rejoice. You will grieve. But your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and then you will rejoice. And listen to his last words right here. And then no one can rob you of that joy. The disciples didn't know exactly what was going to happen. They knew Jesus was saying that he was going to go away, that he was going to die, but they could trust in the promises that Jesus was making. They cried tears of pain and sorrow, but those tears gave way when the tomb was empty. Those tears gave way to joy when they met the resurrected Jesus Christ. And that's the pattern of our life. Tears and joy. But remember, no one can rob you of that joy. Jesus was crucified, dead, and buried, bringing tears, many tears. But Jesus was resurrected and alive and risen, and no one can rob you of that joy. The prodigal son leaves home and wastes his life, bringing many tears. But eventually he returns home and is given a great party, and no one can rob you of that joy. The diagnosis is cancer, and the treatment is chemo, bringing many tears. But the tumor is gone, and the patient is cured. No one can rob you of that joy. The church is dying. Members don't come, bringing many tears. But look now, the church is alive, new life in the pews, and no one can rob you from that joy. The nation is broken. There's fighting everywhere, bringing many tears. But the nation has hope in the promises of God. Remember, he said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, and here's his promise, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. And no one can rob you of that joy. In your life, there's brokenness, there's pain, there's fear somewhere, bringing many tears. But there are also the promises of God, who loves you, who works for good for those who love him, and no one can rob you of that joy. I smile every time I see this, every once in a while, for those of you who may work in some financial arenas, especially where investments are concerned, there's a little asterisk and there's some small print associated with that asterisk about performance in investments. And it says past performance does not guarantee future success. Have you seen that or heard that? And I smile because in the kingdom of God, that isn't true. There is no asterisk. Past performance does guarantee future success when it comes to God. And when we invest our life in loving him, in following him, in opening up our minds and hearts to him, in loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then he works for our good. Yeah, there may be times of sorrow and sadness and brokenness, fear, pain, times that bring tears, maybe even many tears. God works for good for those who love him. And no one can rob us from that joy. Get it? Good. I want us to pray together, and I want us to pray this prayer. I'll say a few words, and I want you to repeat them after me. Do it again, Lord. You've rescued us in the past. You've turned our sadness to joy. Our tears to laughter. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Amen.